With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, hello, and welcome, or should I say welcome back, to the Indie Football Podcast. I am Ed Mallion, stood outside Spartak Stadium, where, if you're not aware, England have just progressed to the World Cup quarterfinals after beating Colombia in a penalty shootout. The first time they've ever won a penalty shootout at the World Cup. Correct me if that's wrong.
It's not wrong.
No, it's not wrong. Who was that correcting me? Jack Pitbrook to my right. Say hello, Jack.
Hello, Ed.
We've also got Mark Critchley here.
Hi, Ed.
And to my left, very excitable Jonathan Liu.
I will not be referred to my old name anymore. I will only refer to by my new name of It's Coming Home.
His new name of It's Coming Home, Pickford Maguire Liu. So, where do we start? In the end, the penalties, meaning England go through, Jordan Pickford making the vital save. And then was it Eric Dier who slotted home the last one? Eric Dier slots home the winning penalty. Overall, trying to take in the 120 minutes as a whole, how would you break that down, Jack?
I thought England played pretty well in very difficult circumstances for a bit of it. I mean, this was hard because Colombia, they were so physical. They were like Panama, but without the kind of amateur hilarity. Like, they were big and strong, and they gave England good kicking. And the fact that England got as far as they did, that is to say, 1-0 up 92 minutes, is really good. However, the Yerry Mina equaliser was probably the worst thing I'd ever seen happen on a football pitch. Like, it was absolutely sickening. And for a long time, as in basically right up until Dier won, or no, certainly up until the Uribe and Bakker and missed their pens, I thought that was England completely fucked. Like, they were that first, you know, I've just been reading Johnny's piece actually about exactly this. That first half of extra time was the worst 15 minutes of my entire life.
Johnny.
No, I would put that as a close second place to the second 15 minutes when it actually did look better, but you knew what was coming and you knew that somebody was going to miss, and it was Jordan Henderson, and we know how this goes, right? And they don't come back from this. England don't come back from this. England don't recover from body blows. England don't win penalty shootouts. England don't make us happy. We all know this deep down in our kidneys that England are not a source of good, and yet somehow, you know, I'm dancing around like a lunatic.
Mark Critchley, what were your kidneys feeling?
My kidneys, I need new kidneys after that. I thought the worst bit. I agree. The first half of extra time was just dreadful. You just felt like there's no way they're coming back from this.
It was like Iceland.
Yeah, second half a little bit of an improvement, but then again when Henderson misses the penalty, I don't know what else I knew I can add. You just know, everybody knew, it's an inevitable sense. I wrote a piece, in my piece what I kind of said was that at least this felt kind of like it would be, from Mina's equaliser, it felt like it would be a kind of bitter, glorious defeat, the kind of thing that, you know, this England team has traded on, and like it used to trade on in 1990, 96 and everything, and it felt as though at least Southgate had brought that back. But what he's done, well, what they've done by winning the shootout is just lift the whole psychological, you know, weight over their shoulders. And yeah,
do you know who did know? Also, Gareth Southgate, because, you know, he's just said in his press conference, he knew all the way through that England were going to win. And even when Henderson missed the penalty, he said, well, I just knew we were going to win because Pickford was going to save one, because
it's your name now, you got to remember it.
Of course, it's my middle name. And so he had that to be able to kind of block out the historical frame and the match situation and the millions of people that, you know, are basically plummeting right at that moment, to have that belief that they would do it, and to transmit that message to his players is a miracle. It's an absolute miracle.
What I want to know is who shredded their piece the most, because mine was all about how England had won the game by keeping calm when Colombia had lost their heads, and Harry Kane, 3 minutes 36 seconds, three minutes 26 seconds Opta said, between the penalty being given and him eventually being able to take it because of the ruckus that kind of broke out, and he kept calm, he tucked away the penalty, and all of that basically went in the bin because none of it mattered anymore. The calmness and stuff didn't matter because when it comes to a shootout, it was just crazy. And you know, the extra time, and you're watching it, it's like Colombia are coming on here. The first half extra time, they were the better side, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, it was terrible.
And then you're worrying, and then England's second half extra time were probably better. I guess the problem for me was that England didn't really create much from open play at any point, and this has been an issue actually throughout the competition, right?
It has, yeah. I do think it was tough. Like, Colombia were really strong defensively. I also thought that Kane wasn't at his best. Dele Alli wasn't at his best. I thought Sterling was good. He's got some stick somehow, but he was. He ran really hard. He had to do a lot of like thankless work for England. We were getting slightly off topic here because it's not the story. But Sterling, I thought Sterling worked hard. He kind of took the ball in difficult areas. He tried to kind of provoke something, like he always does. I don't really, but in a broader sense, I don't care. Like,
I'm trying to analyse the game as well. It's just been really celebratory about this.
When you're in the quarterfinals, all the performance shit goes out the window.
We should put that on the website. That's a good line.
Colombia came to spoil the game, and England kind of came down to their level as well. Weren't brought down to level, willingly came down to their level with, like, I think Southgate said tonight that. Maybe we play by the rules that the rest of the world plays. I think that's his quote.
And how refreshing is it to see that? Like, you know, so often when you get kicked out of these competitions by Argentina or whatever, it's because they've dived or they've done something like this. And for so long, England didn't do that. And that mild level of cheating that gets you to become champions is kind of what we saw from England.
Yeah, they were going down with injuries that weren't injuries. They were wasting time. They were kind of holding the ball in really kind of non-threatening areas. It was a sort of smartness that we don't see. We see from Premier League teams every week, but we don't see from the England team. And they, like, Colombia can't really have any complaints about that. First of all, because they've been doing it themselves, and secondly, because if they hadn't wasted so much of the damn time themselves in both halves, they would have had time. They've had more time to score, you know, an equaliser and possibly a winner. Like, there was only 5 minutes of injury time at the end of the game. And that penalty on its own was 3 minutes and 26 seconds. And if they'd played like the 7 or 8 minutes that were probably merited, they might have won.
I mean, it's so hard to even think what occurred in that second half, really. It was just a lot of infighting. I really thought Harry Kane, he looked like he picked up an injury, and then Gareth Southgate kind of asked him if he wanted to come off, and Southgate was like,
"Yeah, he had cramp apparently."
He had cramp, and then the second half extra time, he kind of just sat in midfield because there was no way he was coming off with a shootout potentially coming, and the fact that they kept him on and then brought Rashford on to play kind of central midfield as well is kind of what you were saying earlier. Southgate knew this was coming. He packed the team with penalty takers in the end, and I mean, Henderson's was actually, it was well saved as well by Ospina. It wasn't a bad penalty.
Better than Diaz, yeah. I thought. Better than Diaz, and Diaz, Ospina gets a hand to it. And the interesting thing I thought was when the second Colombian player misses, I forget who it was now, when he misses, England starts celebrating, but there seemed to be a little bit of a, almost like a little argument as to who was taking the fifth. It seemed like, well, we've just been talking about it in the net, it seemed like there was some kind of, maybe Vardy, because I thought it was strange that Vardy didn't take one, you would expect. Take the mic away from me because there's no more thoughts.
Sorry, go on.
During the Tunisia game, I don't know if you noticed this, but during the Tunisia game when they got their penalty, Pickford sends Ashley Young over to the touchline, and apparently I heard this from someone, I can't remember who I heard this from, but it's because he'd forgotten which side to dive to. So he sent Ashley Young over to the bench to ask Martin Margerson, the goalkeeping coach, which side he was meant to dive to, and he did dive the wrong side. He didn't save it. So he did dive the right side, but he didn't save it. But it just shows how much preparation, the almost homework that they've learned on.
I think the penalty shootout is a vindication of Southgate's preparation for this kind of stuff. The phrase he always uses, own the process, which basically means don't leave anything to chance, do your research, know which way you're going to go, know which way the opposition's going to go. And that worked for England. I mean, Pickford said afterwards that Falcao didn't go his normal way, but the other four Colombian takers did. And the fact that Pickford saved one, another hit the bar, he went the right way the rest of the time, shows that England, you know, England's preparation was rewarded.
And that's massive, because you have to, you know, you stick with the process, even if the result doesn't go your way, you know you did the right thing. And England did do the right thing today. And everything it comes down to, you're talking about, is the attention to detail, the practice. It's the knowing that, you know, knowing that when it comes to penalties, these guys are going to take them and they're going to put them here, here, and here, here, and here, and here. It's the teaching the gamesmanship, let's call it, the mild cheating that everyone else does, that England got on board with. And ultimately, it leaves England in a quarter final against Sweden, which we'll have days and days to preview. Is there anything else you guys want to say about that? Anything else in your minds? Because I know it's kind of incredibly late and it's all a bit blank really at the moment.
Go on, Johnny.
Pickford's save for that fifth penalty is one of the best saves that an England goalkeeper has made in my lifetime.
His save that conceded the corner for Yerry Mina's goal is excellent as well. I think there was some debate as to whether it was actually on target, but there's an angle of, if you see it from behind, he needs to pull that off, you know, otherwise they've equalised. And yes, they've equalised a few minutes later anyway, but yeah
I just think I think this is like one of the greatest nights in English football history, because it contained basically the worst moment in modern English football history, which is Mina's goal, and it was so surprising and unlikely, and I'm sure like it will never be forgotten. Like, that dire penalty is something which we'll be seeing clips of forever and ever and ever. Yeah. Well, like, regardless of what happens against Sweden, I mean, I think we could lose to Sweden, and as bad as that would be, the whole tournament would look better because it contained this evening. I think this evening is kind of what we all came here for. It's like Tunisia time to the power of Anne. Yeah.
It depends how they lose to Sweden. How and why they lose to Sweden. I don't think they'll lose to Sweden.
I mean, we're not going to get 7-1 by Sweden.
Well, let's rule it out. It's also last night in Russia for Mark, Lingard, Ali, Trippier, Critchley. Critch, your favourite moment of the entire World Cup, did that come tonight?
Yeah, I think so. Just the relief. I don't know. My favourite moment was realising, kind of halfway through the second half, oh God, I actually want England to win. Because so long before, I didn't think I was asked. I didn't think I was bothered. I thought I'd come here. I thought I'd be able to do my job and I'd keep my composure. And I did, to a certain extent. But it's weird. Like I said in the piece, I think their challenge tonight, from what Jack's just been saying, is to try and re-engage this team with the country, and I think they've, whatever happens against Sweden, they've done that.
Well, as ever, obviously you can read all the stuff independent.co.uk/football. There's going to be loads of that tonight that you can read. There's going to be loads of that in the morning that you can read. There'll be this podcast you can listen to, which you're already listening to, so it's kind of down a small rabbit hole there. And as ever, Instagram and Twitter and all the usual places to find us. Until tomorrow, I guess. We'll talk to you. Critch, have a safe trip home. Thank you for all of your work so far this World Cup, and enjoy your holiday.
Thanks.
To Jack, Gareth Southgate, Pitbrook, I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, let the listeners into a bit of how we do things. So tomorrow, I've got a train booked at 5:45, which is in about 10 minutes' time, anyway, from Moscow to St. Petersburg, because if England had lost today, Gareth Southgate would have done a post-mortem press conference in Repino Wednesday lunchtime. So I'm darting back to Repino, where there will be no press conference tomorrow morning. But yeah, you will be able to read more stuff from me. And there's also rumours that we might be publishing the two deleted intros from my report. That's all the light of day. I don't know if that will actually happen, but check independent.co.uk on Wednesday and you'll see.
But you know the Independent really believes in recycling, so I'm going to try and find my deleted paragraphs and use them in a piece tomorrow. Johnny, thank you for everything.
I'm going to get my suit measured.
And we'll all be wearing waistcoats. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk again tomorrow. Oh, God.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.